Red Letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Golden stars fall from the sky through clouds, then fly toward a snowy, pyramid-shaped mountain. They skim over serene water before forming an arch around the mountain peak under a twilight sky. Paramount. The sky darkens and fades, leaving behind a white silhouette over a navy blue background. Paramount Players. An astronaut floats through space. He disappears momentarily and emerges with an inverted logo reflected in his helmet. The logo flips upright. MTV Films. A man stands on a precipice with his arms outstretched. With swollen red skies, a storm rages in the distance and his coat swirls around him. Intrepid Pictures. The sun shines down over the tops of a small group of trees. Beneath the green canopy, shadows darken the trunks and grassy floor. A boy with a neatly combed mop of blonde hair and a buttoned-up polo shirt steps up to a window facing the trees. He lays his palm against the glass, gazing out, then turns back into the house, leaving a warm handprint behind. Later, the boy's sneakered feet trample overgrown grass as he stands in a backyard. He closes his eyes, nostrils flaring and shoulders rising as he takes a deep breath. His pale face relaxes into a smile and he starts to run. Blonde locks bounce as his feet carry him across the grass. He pushes through the gap between white sheets hanging on a line. The smile starts to fade and the boy's brow furrows. He stops and holds his chest. Seen blurrily in the distance, four adults and two smaller figures stand at a picnic table. The boy collapses to the ground, his skin red. Blotchy red patches cover his arms and face. The boy jolts awake, his face now clear. Inside a transparent plastic enclosure, Eli blinks, frowning.
Eli?
A red-haired woman enters the room.
Are you okay?
He sits up on a mattress on the floor of a motel room.
Had the same dream.
The one where you thought you were cured.
A flexible tube from a machine feeds into the tent.
You will be, honey. That's why we're doing this. Just one more drive to go, okay?
Promise?
Promise. We'll be there before sunset.
I mean about being cured.
Cross my heart.
She smiles, then lays her hand against the thin barrier.
You know I love you, right?
Eli stares at her palm, then places his against it.
I know.
She gives him a reassuring nod. Now with his t-shirt off, he rubs a wet wipe over his face. He brushes his teeth and slowly spits into a small cup, carefully slipping it into a sealable bag. He taps a pill out of a bottle and swallows it with a drink from a water bottle. From a vacuum-sealed bag, Eli pulls out a gray t-shirt and socks, putting them on. He tugs at a pair of jeans. He slips a well-used magic book into a backpack, followed by a flashlight. Eli slides his arms into a bulky, light blue hazmat suit. He pulls on a pair of black rubber gloves and duct tapes it at the wrists, then lifts the suit's hood up. Outside, a sign for the Nightingale Motel points to short, yellow-painted buildings with a near-empty parking lot.
Also decline.
What's that?
Decline.
The bearded man turns away from watching a group of men hanging out beside a trailer.
That's all I got.
He fishes bills out of his wallet.
Three people, two nights. That's 240.
We stayed one night.
A sign on the window reads checkout policy. Patrons vacating past 9 a.m. will be charged an extra night. The man looks at his watch.
Nice watch.
He opens the motel room door.
Let's go. We're in the daylight.
We're ready.
He grabs a large packed duffel.
Come on, honey.
In his protective suit, Eli picks up his backpack and follows them out of the room.
Holy shit, dude. Check that out. What the fresh fuck is that?
Houston, we have a problem.
One of the men lights a firework.
It's Spaceman. What planet are you from? Uranus?
Uranus.
Running, Eli trips and falls. The woman rushes to him. The bearded man drags the child to the shade of the car.
Eli, yeah, you're okay. I got it. Breathe. Eli. I'm sorry.
Eli, calm down.
Breathe, honey.
Eli.
Look at me. I'm right here.
Red blotches cover his cheeks.
Real tough, assholes. Picking on a sick kid. Oh,
don't look at them. It's just you and me, okay? Hey, don't look at them. Look at me, okay? Breathe.
Don't grow up.
Breathe, honey. Can you smell that birthday cake fresh from the oven? All right, breathe in. Smell it. Blow out those candles. Brush your lips. That's it, good. There's a couple more left. Blow them out. That's good. Now make a wish.
Behind his faceplate, the angry swelling slowly recedes.
What did you wish for?
I wish I could beat the crap out of them.
She nods.
Make another wish.
Now that Dr. Horn can fix me.
The woman smiles gently and leans in to kiss the see-through visor.
Should we get out of here?
She holds his arms.
Come on.
See ya, man. Blast off.
Yeah.
Bye.
The family get into an old SUV. Eli glares out the window as the bearded man backs up roughly, forcing the bullies back. A ruffian flings a beer bottle that shatters over the glass. Eli gives him the finger. They drive away, swerving sharply onto the road. On either side of the highway, dense green trees border grassy fields. The SUV turns off onto an exit, clouds of dust swirling in its wake. Eli stares out the window as the sun shines brightly on his face.
Piece of shit.
The old car never did that.
I wasn't talking about the car, I was talking about you.
Oh.
Eli and Paul share a grin.
What, he knows I'm kidding.
But we did need to tighten our belts to get you to this doctor, pal.
His expression sobers.
I know.
Well, she's gonna be worth every penny. She's a miracle worker, right?
Paul nods.
Are you gonna show me my card or not?
Oh.
He fans out a pack of cards.
Is this your card?
He holds up a six of spades.
That is my card. How'd you do that?
It's not your card. You're just lying to me to make me feel better.
Calm down. I wouldn't lie to you, baby. Right, Paul?
It's nervous.
Eli turns his attention back to the window and squints.
I miss DC.
From an aerial view, the lone vehicle travels a narrow road between plowed fields. Wispy clouds cover the gray landscape. Under a subdued sky, they turn onto a gravel path. His attention caught, Eli moves closer to the window. Outside, a girl on a swing watches them from in front of a wooden house. Branching trees on either side of the path form an archway over the passing car as it emerges through the mist. Eli leans in between the seats, peering outside. In the distance, the faint outline of a house takes shape.
Is this where we're going to be staying?
It is, buddy.
Yep. Just for a little while.
A large stone house with a slanted roof stands at the end of a circular driveway. Two lights on the front porch sparkle through the gray fog. Paul parks the SUV on one side of the driveway, taillights glowing red. Eli stares up at the house, transfixed.
Hey, get your stuff, let's go.
The family walks up to the front door, Paul carrying the larger bags and the woman holding Eli's hand. Winged insects with long legs, mosquito hawks, flutter around a glass-covered porch lamp.
Where's the doorbell?
I don't know.
A heavy metal door slowly swings open. A short distance inside, a set of sliding doors remains sealed.
Welcome, Miller family. This is Dr. Horn. In order to protect the integrity of the house, the decontamination chamber is our only way in or out. Eli, will you please enter first by yourself?
Be right behind you. You're okay.
You got this.
They gently push him toward the entrance. A lighted panel near the inner doors switches from yellow to red as Eli steps over the threshold. The main door closes behind him. He whips around. His booted feet step onto laminated wooden floorboards bolted into the ground in a circular room. The light turns yellow.
Raise your arms, please.
He lifts his arms out. The room fills with bright white light. Lines of small blowers on the walls and a large vent activate. The hazmat suit flattens against Eli's body and he sways on his feet, his eyes closed. The lights dim. Next to a label marked clean, a blue indicator turns on. The inner doors open. Three women, two of whom wear nurses' scrubs, stand in a foyer in front of a large staircase. Eli enters hesitantly.
Hello, Eli. I'm Dr. Horn.
Smiling, she holds out a hand and he shakes it.
Hello.
The doors open again and his parents step in.
Rose. Paul, nice to meet you in the flesh, finally. These are my nurses, Barbara and Maricela.
Pleased to meet you.
Did you find the place okay?
Hello, Mr. and Mrs.
Miller.
Please call me Rose.
We're so happy to have you all here.
Eli steps past the adults and looks around at the high ceilings and winged staircase.
Excuse me.
Light pours in through a set of large windows on a landing. Dr. Horn joins him.
You can take your suit off now. You're safe.
What if they're contaminants?
There aren't any, honey. This is a clean house.
He peers at Rose, then leans against her chest.
He's a little shy.
There's no rush. You have to trust yourself first. Will you fetch the Miller's luggage?
Right away.
Please, follow me. I'll show you your room.
The nurses and Eli stare at each other.
How long will it take?
The treatment? We do it in three stages. It's called viral gene therapy. You see, your immune system produces too many bad immunoglobulins.
Your body carries a defective RAG1, RAG2 gene.
Which we can correct using encoded virus. You really know your stuff.
I read.
Rose and Paul, you'll be on this floor, but we're gonna go to Eli's room first.
Oh, can't he sleep with us?
Unfortunately, our patients must be in their own rooms for treatment.
How long have you been a doctor?
I've been an immunologist for 25 years, but I started this clean house 3 years ago.
How many patients have you treated?
Quite a few.
And you've cured all of them?
They stop on a first floor corridor.
And you've cured all of them?
Eli, I know you're nervous, but you don't need to be. I will make you better.
They look up as lights flicker.
Oh, don't worry about that. That's the sound of the air filtration. Sometimes it makes the old piping vibrate. This is an old house. It had been abandoned for God knows how long before I bought it. Shall we?
Eli peers down a hallway walled off by glass.
It's down there.
Oh, well, not all of the house had been retrofitted to be a clean environment. But don't worry, these seals are airtight.
She taps the surface.
Shall we continue?
As he stares down a long corridor, a small figure disappears into the shadows.
Eli.
He turns and follows after the adults. Dr. Horn opens a door.
This is your room, Eli.
Eli enters a large bedroom with wooden beams slanting up into the ceiling. A bed stands in front of three long windows. A double-doored closet set against a wall hosts two mirrors. He stares at his reflection. He turns and walks to an open doorway.
I know it's a lot to get used to, but I hope you don't think of this as a medical facility. To me, it's a home, and for now, it's your home.
He glances at her.
Is the water safe?
Water pours out of a gleaming showerhead.
The water here is completely filtered. Pure than bottled water. Probably a long time since you've had a shower.
Rose sticks her hand under the water.
You can trust Dr. Horn, honey.
Eli backs away from the bathroom. He stops and peels the tape off from around his wrist. Rose watches him for a moment, then hurries over to kneel in front of him. She works quickly to undo the bindings and yanks his gloves off. Paul watches them, smiling. Tears fill their eyes as Rose unzips the hood of the protective suit and pushes it over Eli's head.
Breathe. It's okay to breathe.
He shakes his head.
It's okay.
His small shoulders heave and he smiles. Rose holds up her hand and he places his against it, then links his fingers with hers. She pulls him into her arms.
Oh, it's been so long. I love you.
I know.
She holds her hand out and Paul joins them. He looks at his son, then holds him close, resting his chin on top of his head. Dr. Horn watches them with a small smile. Later, a cloudy night sky surrounds the house. Eli stands under the shower, grinning widely as he fills his cupped hands with water and pours it over himself. Pleasure turns to sorrow as he lowers his head and cries, his tears washed away by the water. In Rose and Paul's bedroom, she pulls a brand new red and black hooded jacket from her luggage.
Where'd you get that?
It's for him to wear when we go home. Do you like it?
She smiles, holding it up. John watches her.
Did you see his face when he took off the suit?
He sits on the bed.
He was so happy. You remember? Happy?
I just got a lot on my mind.
I know. But this is gonna work.
She kneels behind him, leaning against his back.
Everything we hoped for, everything I prayed for is right here. He's gonna get better. We just gotta have faith.
I do. I've always been a faithful man.
He stands and walks away. Rose remains seated on the bed, a pensive look on her face. Later, in Eli's room, light from the windows fall on his bed, where he lies tucked under the covers. His wide eyes rove over the dark ceiling. Dense shadows under the eaves remain untouched by the hallway light shining through a glass pane above the door. His attention turns to the source of the sound. He pushes off his blanket and gets out of bed. He pulls back the thin curtain covering one of the windows. On the other side of the glass, a mosquito hawk bounces off the surface, then settles.
Do you want to come in?
Against Eli's reflection on the window, the insect bounces once and flies away. As he watches its journey, he notices a patch of condensation on the glass rhythmically recede and return. He slowly backs away. He stops as the misty patch starts to disappear. Invisible fingers streak through the condensation. In her room, Rose wakes with a start. She straightens slowly, staring at her shivering son.
My God, you're shaking.
I'm gonna sleep in your bed tonight.
She moves over and he climbs in under the covers. Rose wraps her arm around him. She kisses his hair as he stares ahead. Night turns to day and dark gray skies lighten over the house. Eli walks down the staircase barefoot and in his pajamas where his parents wait with Dr. Horn.
Good morning, Eli. How are you feeling?
Okay.
I heard you didn't sleep well.
He glances at his parents. Rose looks away.
There was something in my room.
What was it?
I don't know. Like, breathing on the window.
Were you asleep or awake?
Awake, I think.
Bad dreams are a side effect of the immunosuppressants you're taking. I've even had some patients hallucinate. It's perfectly normal. Shall we begin?
Smiling, she turns. His shoulders hunched, he takes his mother's hand. The family follows Dr. Horn into a passageway off the main room. Eli glances over his shoulder. They stop at a large metal door. Dr. Horn punches a code into a number pad. Eli starts forward and his parents stay still.
They're not coming.
We have to stay here, honey.
We won't move from the spot. Promise.
Standing at the entrance to a white-walled section of the house, Dr. Horn holds out a hand.
Eli.
He stops and turns to his mother.
Why don't you make a wish?
The boy closes his eyes and takes a deep breath. His parents smile at him.
What'd you wish for?
That I was brave.
Paul's smile widens.
You already are.
Eli's nervous expression lightens, and he enters the hallway hand in hand with Dr. Horn. As the doors swing shut, Rose and Paul clasp each other's hands tightly. Inside, Dr. Horn hands Eli over to Maricela.
Just this way.
Dressed in mauve surgical scrubs, she guides him through a door. They enter an operating room. The other nurse, Barbara, pushes an instrument cart beside a covered surgical table. Eli stares.
Stand there.
He blinks.
Stand there.
She points to a scale.
And here.
Coming up behind him, she pulls off his pajama top. He keeps his arms up.
Seis.
Arms out.
She holds out a surgical gown.
Turn around. Wait.
She secures the ties on the back as he stands still and pale-faced.
Eli, face this way.
She turns him around and aims a camera.
Why are you taking my picture?
Listo.
Where are you from?
She gives him an icy smile and steps forward.
Do you know what happened to the boy who asked too many questions?
He shrugs.
He got answers?
As the nurse stares at him, Dr. Horn emerges from a glass-fronted room. In a mauve gown, she snaps on a pair of matching gloves.
Stations.
With Eli lying face down on the surgical table, leather restraints are strapped around his ankles. A cushioned clamp holds his head in place, turned to the side. His cheek pressed against the table, his eyes wander in the direction of the women. Now wearing a mask, Dr. Horn tears off a printout from a machine.
So when did this all start, Eli?
About 4 years ago. But it's much worse now.
My patients are all just like you, all with failing immune systems. The condition remains dormant until around your age.
Barbara hands her a syringe.
What do you think is making you sick? Needle?
She pushes the needle into his hip.
Lots of things. The air, water.
Standing behind him, she hands Barbara the syringe.
Dust?
Could be those things.
She picks up a jar.
Could be something else. Because what is an autoimmune syndrome at its core?
The doctor steps around the table. She sits in front of him and pulls down her mask.
It's the body fighting itself, right? In a normal, healthy body, antibodies are produced by stem cells in the marrow. But in your body, that gene is impaired. So I'm gonna take this specially modified virus and inject it into the marrow. This virus is gonna repair that gene and reset your entire immune system. Poof. It's like a magic trick, right?
He nods. As she gets out of her chair, it swivels around, its curved metal back acting as a mirror. Maricela pulls the elevated arm of a machine, positioning it over Eli's head. She flips a series of switches and orange light flashes over the boy.
Scalpel?
The nurse hands Dr. Horn a gleaming instrument. As Eli frowns, she slices through his iodine-swabbed skin.
Bone punch?
Barbara lifts a corkscrew-styled instrument off the tray and hands it to her.
So, I want you to count back from 100.
100.
99.
She inserts the metal point into him and bears down, screwing it in.
Keep counting.
97.
His shoulders shake.
96. 95.
Closing her eyes, Dr. Horn 94. Pulls out the bloodied bone punch.
93.
Barbara squeezes out the sample into a petri dish. 92. Reflected in the chair, the doctor turns away to reveal a figure in a gown with dark hair standing behind her. It slowly turns. The blurry, twisted face leans closer and a hand reaches out. Fade to black. Now Eli's eyes fly open. Lying on his back, he struggles with the straps around his wrists.
Dr. Horn? Dr. Horn, let me go.
Can't do that, Eli.
Dr. Horn, it burns!
That's the medication.
No! No, it really burns!
That means it's working.
His skin starts to turn red and he thrashes on the operating table. His arms erupt with growing crimson patches. He turns and spots the instrument tray speckled with blood. He throws his head back, mouth open wide. Lying in his bed, Eli's eyes snap open and his skin is now clear. He grimaces and starts to rise, then notices an IV bag hanging from a stand by his bed. He picks up the tube going into his hand and pulls it out, then sits up. He looks around the empty room. Throwing back the covers, Eli swings his feet over the side of the bed and stands. He clutches his right hip and limps forward. His body jerks and freezes. He turns slowly and stares at the window beside his bed. He steps up to the glass and peers outside. He blows on it and lays his palm against the misty spot, gazing at the handprint. A small crack mars the window and he jumps back. He leans forward and looks out. The young girl from his arrival throws a pebble that embeds itself in the glass. As she covers her mouth, he smiles. She beckons to him. Eli emerges at the top of the staircase, holding his flashlight. He shines it over the lower floor, then proceeds down the stairs, pausing at the landing to look out the window. He stops at the bottom and looks around. He veers off to the side and enters a door at the back of the room. He pushes past a plastic curtain covering the front of an arched opening, then wanders into a hallway. Glass walls cover the front of a dark room. A rocking chair, among other covered furniture, moves as he passes. He stands outside a closed door with a small display on the wall beside it. He enters a sunroom with one wall covered in machinery and shrouded in darkness. As he studies the semicircle of ornate domed window panes, his feet carry him toward the glass. He wipes off a section of condensation. The girl appears.
Oh, I shouldn't have done that. What, with you being sick and all?
How do you know I'm sick?
Well, you're in there, aren't you? That's where all of you stay. They say you're what, like, allergic to the world, right?
I guess you could say that.
So you've never been outside?
No, I have. I mean, I wasn't born like this. My mom told me I was a tough birth. She was sick a lot when I was pregnant. when she was pregnant, but, I was fine until recently.
You tell everybody your life story?
He blinks.
You're cute. I'm Haley. I live down the road.
I'm Eli.
You're what?
Eli. My name's Eli.
She looks away and makes a face.
No, I don't like it. I want to call you something else. What are you into? What do you like to do?
I like magic. Card tricks.
Card tricks.
No, look.
He struggles with his pocket.
Hold on a sec.
Haley rolls her eyes.
Oh. Look, pick a card, any card.
He fans out the deck.
Wait, so I pick a card, and then what, you're gonna like, guess what card I picked?
He folds it up.
Hey, you wanna see a real trick?
She breaks off a twig.
I can light this twig on fire with my mind.
Eli smiles.
Don't believe me. Watch.
She turns her back to him and whips around with a flame glowing in her hand.
You scared of fire?
No.
She nods.
I used to be scared of fire. Then I learned how to master it.
She closes her fist and it winks out.
Where's the match?
Smirking, she steps back.
What match?
Come on. What were you doing when you turned around? You hid it in your palm and then distracted me.
A good magician never reveals her secrets.
Come on, tell me.
What's the fun in that? Some things you just gotta figure out on your own. Anyway, I gotta go.
Wait. I could ask my parents if you could come inside.
In there? Oh, thanks. Why not?
She moves closer to the window.
Look, I don't mean to freak you out, but there's just something off about the whole place. Gives me the creeps. Actually, I'm not even supposed to be here. The woman that runs this place, she doesn't like me. I don't like her either. She's shifty.
Shifty?
It's just better if you don't say anything.
She grins at him.
See you later, Houdini.
He watches her walk away. The window reflects gray skies and overgrown shrubbery around Eli. The corners of his mouth turn up in a small smile. Exiting the sunroom, he looks around as he makes his way up the hallway. The overhead lights flicker and he stops in front of the glass-walled room. He shines his flashlight over the cloth-covered tables and shelves. Dim light enters through curtained windows in the back of the room. The beam of light hovers over a gently swaying rocking chair. In the dark, a girl bent over backwards straightens. Eli brings up his light and she disappears. He stares, stepping closer, then moves the light away. A shadowy girl in a hospital gown walks toward him. As he backs away, the hallway lights flicker and turn off. His flashlight momentarily illuminates the girl, now in the hallway. He starts to run. Looking over his shoulder, the light shines on the girl's pale face and blood-stained gown. He stumbles and falls, then shines his flashlight over the floor. As the overhead lights come on, a dark silhouette rises on the other side of the plastic curtains behind him. He scrambles away from it. Hands start to peel apart the curtain when Paul tears through it.
What are you doing?
He holds Eli's IV.
You can't wander this place by yourself.
Eli looks past him. Paul holds up the IV tube.
Put this back in your hand.
Chest heaving, Eli lunges to his feet and pushes past his father. He slaps open the curtain.
Where did she go?
Who?
Eli stares at him, then looks at the hallway behind the plastic flaps. He storms off. Later.
Dear Lord, we are thankful for everything that you have given us. And for this time that we get to spend together as a family. And especially for placing Dr. Horn in our paths. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
His IV stand beside him, Eli sits with his family at a table in front of a large fireplace. Rose glances at his scowling face.
Something on your mind, honey?
He's upset because I yelled at him. I said I was sorry, but he needs to put that drip back in his hand.
You won't believe me that I saw someone in the hallway. There's another kid in this house. It wasn't a nurse!
Eli? Honey? Calm down, okay? Calm down.
He lowers his eyes to his plate.
It was another patient.
Honey, I'm scared too. I am. I get scared of new places, new people sometimes, but for you, that must be so overwhelming. On your body and your mind. But there is nobody else here except us. I promise.
He looks at Paul, who cocks his head at the disconnected tube. The boy unfurls the line as his mother watches him.
Here again.
She leans in and takes it from him, gently inserting it back into the tube, entering his arm.
Hey. Eli?
Eli puts down his fork and pokes at a pyramid of black gelatin on his plate.
Looks like shit.
Tastes like shit, too.
He picks his fork up. In his darkened bedroom, Eli leans against his pillows and looks over his magic book using his flashlight. He stops on a page titled Basic Lockpick, then flips to another, Flaming Palm.
I knew it. For best results, practice in a dark place.
He looks up at the ceiling. Eli lowers his book, eyes staring into the distance. He trains his light on the closet door as it opens. A sweeping reflection of the room stops at a moving bulge behind the curtain. Eli's eyes widen. Turning his head, he shines the flashlight over the puffed-out fabric at the window beside his bed. He tilts the beam down. It hovers over empty floorboards. As he raises the light, the curtain shakes. Eli slowly climbs out of bed, eyes and flashlight fixed on the drapery. Shaking, he walks toward it.
Who are you?
He reaches out and tugs the curtain aside. Darkness fills the empty corner behind it. Frowning, he chews his lip. He steps over to the cracked window pane. He blows over a section of glass, then uses his finger to scrawl his name into the condensation. The glass mists up, wiping the E from his name. The E reappears at the end, now spelling lie. Eli drops his flashlight as he backs away from the window. He crashes into the open closet door. In the mirror, a figure sitting at the window looks up. Eli turns to see an empty room. Peering back at the mirror, he starts to close the door. He catches a glimpse of a girl in a stained gown. He looks around the room. Swinging the door, he looks behind him, seeing nothing. He releases a breath and starts to step back when fingers curl around the door. In slow motion, he falls backward onto the floor.
No! No,
no! He crawls away and a pair of hands grab him, pulling him back. It turns him onto his back and he thrashes on the floor.
Eli, listen to me!
Shh,
shh.
No!
Stand. Shh, shh. Hey, listen to me! Shh, shh, shh. Hey!
Oh, do something!
Eli.
No! No!
Breathe.
Later, Dr. Horn injects a syringe of blue liquid into Eli's IV bag. Rose stands at the foot of her son's bed as Paul watches from the doorway. Dr. Horn leads her out.
So, it's the medication. Maybe you could lower the dosage or something. I mean, if he's seeing things, I mean...
We put everything on the line for this.
I know.
Like everything.
He was terrified,
okay,
Paul.
Let her do her job.
I'm not going to sugarcoat this. What we're doing here is very hard on Eli's body. And some of the symptoms from his condition are bound to flare up. But we need to stay the course of the medication. Especially with procedure 2.
Why? What do you mean?
Eli's going to get worse before he gets better.
She walks away. Rose looks at Paul, then spreads her hands over her face. Outside the door to the medical section, the doctor types in the code. Eli steps up to the metal doors.
Hey.
He looks behind him.
Be strong, sweetheart.
We're right here.
The doctor stands beside him, already wearing her surgical scrubs and head covering. With a long look at his parents, Eli turns and follows her in. The doors close behind him. In the operating room, the table tilts up at an angle. The two nurses screw clamps against the sides of Eli's head. Dr. Horn enters.
Good news, Eli. We spent the night working on your stem cells, and we can confirm that the gene therapy virus is correct in the mutation.
The nurses apply restraints to his ankles as Horn snaps on gloves.
This is gonna burn a little bit. On the count of three.
She lifts his right sleeve.
One,
two.
She quickly jabs his arm. The lights start to flicker.
It'll be over before you know it.
Remain calm.
It hurts!
The red patches begin to appear on his face.
It burns!
Breathe. This is supposed to happen.
Behind him, Maricela shaves off a section of his hair.
Unfortunately, the virus that's going to cure your affliction is unable to cross the blood-brain barrier, so we have to penetrate. Drill.
She punctures the shaved skin.
Relax. Stress will just make your symptoms worse.
She carefully inserts the drill into the small hole in the back of his head. With the rest of his body trembling, Eli stares ahead at Maricela, nodding her head with a smile. In the foyer, Rose holds a small crucifix, her eyes closed.
You really think praying's gonna help us?
Dr. Horn walks up to them.
How is he? He had a bit of a reaction today.
A reaction?
Yes, it's quite common. His body's gonna reject the new cells, just like any transplant, okay?
Can I see him?
The doctor eyes her.
After he's had some rest.
Rose watches her go with swollen eyes. At night, the family sits at the dining table. Barbara sets a plate of food in front of Paul.
Thank you.
Dark circles under his eyes, Eli toys with his food. His IV stands beside him.
Dr. Horn told me how strong you were.
Something shifty about her.
Shifty?
What?
I think she's making me sicker.
Oh, she's not, Eli. It's the medication.
I know what I saw, Mom, and it's not the medication. And if it was, then why do I feel worse?
Because it's working. The good cells are fighting the bad stuff. You're bound to feel weak.
He lowers his head.
I want to leave.
You want to leave?
Paul wipes his mouth.
Okay. Let's go. Come on. Doctor says you're getting better. You want to leave and stay sick forever, or do you want to stay here and get better? What's it going to be?
Eli keeps his eyes down, then slowly lifts his head.
Stay and get better.
Later, in Eli's dark room, an object flashes against the window. He hurries over to the window and looks out. Haley smiles up from the side of the house. Eli's face relaxes for a moment, then he frowns. He moves past his bed and stares at the open bathroom where light flickers inside. Shoulders hunched, he nears the doorway and looks inside. A silhouette forms behind the opaque shower curtain.
Who's there?
As Eli enters, the shadow moves along with him behind the curtain. The boy grabs the fabric and quickly throws it open. Water runs in the empty shower. He reaches in and turns it off. Behind him, the door closes. He steps over to the sink with its steamy mirror. Turning off the faucet, he looks at his blurry reflection and rubs his palm over the glass. A drop of blood seeps out of his nose. He wipes it with the back of his hand. The lights go out. Eli looks back into the mirror, then wraps his arms around himself. A figure standing behind him starts to move toward him.
It's not real.
He frantically wipes at the mirror and the figure vanishes. He turns around slowly. A hand grabs at him through a gap in the curtain. He reels back and yanks the door open.
Let me out! No! Please!
He struggles to pull open the room's door. Looking over his shoulder, he sees the pale figure advancing on him. He lunges for the closet, wrenching it open and getting in. Eli is thrown onto his back as the closet topples. He sticks a hand up through the now ajar door and pushes it out of the way. He pokes his head out and looks around the room. Eli climbs out of the broken closet and looks down at the door. His name, scratched onto the wooden surface, repeats itself. A piece of broken mirror sticks to a corner. Eli stares at the rough etches. The appearance of the letter E resembles his own handwriting. He swings around as his parents and Dr. Horn enter.
What did you do?
They stare at the large wooden closet lying on the floor, surrounded by mirror shards. Later.
It wasn't me!
Eli, you were standing in front of the closet door.
Because I've been hiding in there.
With shards of glass?
They wrote it on my window, too.
Your name?
No, lie!
You could have hurt yourself, honey.
Eli, none of my other patients have ever mentioned ghosts.
He smacks a file out of her hand.
Hey!
No! No one believes me!
He tears out his IV and storms away. Rose covers her mouth with her hands, eyes wet with tears. Later, Eli lies in bed. He turns to the window.
Oh, now you decide to show up.
In the sunroom.
What happened last night? Did I get you in trouble?
Eli leans against the glass, eyes sunken and lips cracked.
You look terrible.
I feel terrible too.
He sits on the floor.
What happened?
If I tell you, I have to promise not to laugh.
Just spill it.
Haley sits on the other side of the glass. She leans in, studying him intently.
I think this house is haunted. I think something bad happened here. Great. Now you think I'm crazy, too.
No, I don't think you're crazy.
And why'd you laugh?
Because Perry, the kid who stayed here before you, he said the same thing.
Eli's eyes widen and he turns to her.
He did? Yep. Well, I didn't talk to him as much as I talked to you, but he said that he was seeing ghosts.
Dr. Horn said none of her patients ever saw ghosts.
Can you believe her?
He shrugs.
Mom and Dad say to trust her.
Oh, and I'm sure your parents always tell you the truth.
His brow furrows.
Perry said the longer he was in there, the more clearly he saw them, and he told Dr. Horn that.
Well, what did she say?
I don't know. He said he was about to get procedure 3. And that was the last time I saw him.
He stares at her for a moment, then pulls himself to his feet.
I need to get out of here.
So get your hazmat and go.
I can't. I wouldn't survive outside without my parents.
The lights in the hallway start to pulse.
Wait here a sec.
Haley watches him, frowning and stepping closer to the window as he walks away. Out in the hallway, the lights flash on and off as he looks around and slowly makes his way forward. He stops and looks down. The front and sleeve of his t-shirt stick out. He flails his arms and it stops. His t-shirt gets pulled and he falls. His hand is grabbed, dragging him over the floor.
No! No, let go of me!
He passes the glass-walled room. Reflected there, three figures hold his arms and a leg. He kicks himself free, stands, and runs for the curtain. Unseen hands pull him back as he struggles. He lashes out at them, escaping again and running out. In the foyer, he hits a transparent wall and crashes to the floor.
Let me go!
He rakes his fingers over the floor as he's dragged away by his feet. Reflected in the shiny floors of the decontamination chamber, two boys and a girl look down at Eli, then walk away. The doors start to close.
No! No! No!
The blue light on the indicator turns yellow. The outer door opens.
No! No!
Eli flings himself at a handrail and pushes against it.
No!
He backs away as night shows through the gap in the door. He lifts the neck of his shirt over his mouth and cowers away from the door. Red streaks his face as a pair of hands grab him and pull him away. The decontamination indicator changes from red to yellow.
Breathe. Eli, breathe. Breathe. Breathe.
Eli? Eli? What's going on?
I heard screams. He was trying to leave the house.
They opened the door.
Haldol, 20 cc's.
You think this place was secure?
There must have been an electrical short circuit.
You know about the ghosts.
Eli, you have to stop it.
Hurry!
I know about Perry.
Dr. Horn stares.
Who's Perry?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Lie!
Who's Perry?
He gets to his feet.
Lie! You're a liar! Someone tell me what's actually going on!
Eli, I'm right here. Look at me, I'm right here. Okay, breathe. Let's make our wish.
I don't want to make a fucking wish!
His fist smashes an emergency glass panel on the wall. Rose stares in shock. He lifts up his hand, blood covering the side of it.
Mom?
The people in the room turn blurry and tilt, cut to black. Now Eli lies in the middle of his bed, arms spread out. His eyes snap open. A large white bandage covers the hand with the IV line going into it. With dark eyes and hollow cheeks, Eli raises it in front of his face. Outside, Dr. Horn and Paul stand together in conversation. Rose watches them from a distance.
So there's no other choice at this point. Yeah.
She joins them.
I was just saying that I can't believe that he actually tried to leave.
The last treatment didn't go as I'd hoped. Eli's brain is waging a war against the serum. That's why he's feeling so sick and delusional. I'm going to administer diazepam to enable him to rest until dawn, and then we'll begin the final procedure.
Rose stares at a pill bottle.
Wait. I think I should be the one that gives that to him.
She holds out her hand.
He'll take it better coming from me.
Dr. Horn gives her a sympathetic look. Rose accepts the pills and gives her husband a sideways glance before walking away. She enters Eli's room, turning to look out as she closes the door. Rose passes the broken closet, now upright, its door leaning against it. She looks down at her son lying on his side with his back to her.
I'm not crazy, Mom.
I know you're not.
Dad thinks I am.
No.
Yes, he does.
She sits beside him and he looks at her.
He looks at me like he doesn't believe me.
You mean the same way you're looking at me right now?
He sits up in bed.
You know, this is hard for him. Watching you go through this. He was the one that found Dr. Horn. He looked everywhere for a doctor to help you.
We would never have brought you here if we didn't think you could go on and live a normal life.
He studies her expression.
But you said you believed me.
I do. I believe that you saw things. I just don't believe the things you saw are real.
He lowers his head tiredly. She rubs his back.
Trust me. I know the effects medication can have on the mind. You see something and you swear it was real.
But it's not.
I know how hard this is for you. But it's almost over. I just need to get some sleep. What's that?
She reaches behind his ear.
What?
She holds out a blue pill.
No. I'm not as good at tricks as some people.
She touches his nose.
Here.
Eli takes the pill from her and she hands him a glass of water.
What is it?
It's just something to help you sleep.
He frowns, then puts it in his mouth. He wipes his fingers over his lips.
Show me.
He opens his mouth and sticks out his tongue, waggling it. She wraps him up in her arms.
You know I love you, right?
I know.
As he hugs her, his attention wanders to the closet behind her. He tilts his head sideways and stares. Upside down, the letters form a number sequence, repeated over and over.
3, 4, 7, 1.
Rose straightens, He shakes his head at her and shrugs. He lies back down and she pulls the covers over him.
Sweet dreams.
She leaves the room, walking by the broken door. Eli's eyes open and he sits up, his gaze fixed on the wooden panel. He spits the blue pill into his hand and renews his intense stare. Elsewhere, Dr. Horn lays Eli's hazmat suit in an open hearth. She steps back, and the light of a match glows on her face. She tosses it onto the suit, and it catches fire. In his room, Eli sits propped up against his pillows. Through the windows behind him, the sky turns sepia. In his parents' room, Paul and Rose sit on opposite sides of the bed, their backs to one another. In the hearth, flames envelop the suit as it burns. Outside, silvery mist enshrouds the house. In his room, Eli lies on his side and stares out the window. He jerks, then smiles.
Haley.
He jumps out of bed and runs, only to have his arm yanked back by the IV tube. He pulls it out.
Bitch.
In the sunroom.
Still alive, huh?
Listen, did Perry ever say if the ghosts are trying to hurt him or help him?
He didn't say. Why?
Because they tried to drag me out of the house, and I'm not sure if they wanted to kill me or get me to leave.
It kind of sounds like they wanted to kill you. Why would you think otherwise?
He blows on the glass and writes out, lie.
Lie?
They wrote that. On my window and on my closet door. But if you turn it upside down?
She tilts her head.
317.
What does that mean?
This is what they've been trying to tell me the entire time.
Ooh, all like a secret code to a secret door.
I never said it was a door.
She frowns.
Don't give me that suspicious look. It was just the first thing that entered my head.
You're not a ghost too, are you?
What kind of drugs do they got you on now? Do I look like a ghost?
I think it is a code to a door. To the medical wing.
What's in there?
Answers.
To what?
To why she's lying.
Are you gonna do it? And what if you get caught?
He looks away.
Everybody's gotta sleep. Right?
In his darkened room, the digital clock on the nightstand reads 1:37 a.m. Eli gets out of bed and grabs his flashlight. He makes his way down the stairs. Lamps on the walls emit a low light. He crosses the foyer and enters the hallway leading to the medical wing. He shines his light on the number pad on the wall. He punches in 317 and the display flashes green. The metal doors swing open. The beam of the flashlight extends to the end of the short hallway where a machine sits. Eli enters. He glances back as the doors close behind him. Eli turns to the first door he sees and turns the handle. Unsuccessful, he moves on. He looks up, training his light on metal piping near the ceiling. Turning away, he proceeds farther down the hallway. He walks up to a door at the end. Turning the knob, it opens into Dr. Horn's bedroom. Eli quickly closes the door, eyes wide. He enters the OR and looks around. He stares at a row of refrigerated medicine cabinets in the corner of the room and starts toward them. He turns, peering about his surroundings. His light falls on the glass-paned room. He steps in to find an office desk taking up one side of the space. He shines his light around the room and spots a metal filing cabinet. He pulls open a drawer and rifles through neatly labeled files. Upstairs, Rose sits up in bed in the dark.
What were you and Dr. Horn talking about?
What
were you and Dr. Horn talking about before I came along?
She turns on a lamp.
Tell me.
Just talking about the need to be prepared for all possibilities.
All possibilities? What do you mean?
He rubs his face, then throws back his covers and turns on his lamp. He sits up on the side of the bed.
Like she said, that with each procedure, there are inherent risks. He had a bad reaction to the last one. And for every chance that he's going to pull through, there's...
What?
There's a chance that he won't.
Behind him, Rose stares.
She said that?
That's what she said.
But she doesn't think it's going to work? But I don't understand. She's cured every one of her patients, that's what you told me. That's what I told Eli.
Paul lowers his gaze and she gets out of bed.
Why would you lie to me?
She comes around to stand in front of him.
Why would you lie to me about that?
Just trying to do what's best for Eli. You knew this was always a possibility, Rose.
Is his life in danger?
He looks away.
Is it?
He lowers his head. Her eyes widen and her jaw drops.
How dare you?
How dare I?
I'm leaving.
How dare I?
I'm taking him with me.
After what you did, you're the one that wanted to try anything.
She unzips a suitcase. In her room, Dr. Horn wakes and stares up at the ceiling. She turns on a lamp on her nightstand. In the office, Eli continues to look through the contents of the filing cabinet. The light comes on in the hallway. He hides by the side of the cabinet as the doctor passes the glass panel on the door. He starts to leave. He turns back and sees a smaller set of drawers under a discarded surgical scrub. He slides two paper clips off a file on the desk, fashioning them into a lockpick. He inserts the metal pieces into the lock and wiggles it around. From inside the first drawer, he pulls out a set of blue files, the topmost labeled Miller, Eli. He takes it over to the desk and opens it up. He opens another with a picture of a young boy.
Barry.
21.
He turns to a second tabbed section.
22.
Perry appears sunken-eyed in this picture.
23.
Perry lies bleeding on the operating table. Eli quickly opens another file.
Agnes, treatment 1. Treatment 2.
Pictures of a young girl follow the same pattern as Perry's.
Treatment 3. Lucius, treatment 1, treatment 2, treatment 3.
As he pushes the file away, it slips off the table, knocking over a beaker. Lights turn on in the operating room. Eli ducks down out of sight. In her robe, Barbara looks around the room. Stepping up to the window, she peers into the office. Eli huddles against the wall under the glass. Frowning, the nurse turns to the door leading in. She enters and turns on the lights. Eli is gone. She stares at the open file drawers and the folders on the table and runs into the hallway looking out. Barefoot, Eli tears through the plastic curtains.
Mom! Dad, we have to leave!
He throws open the door to their empty room. He glances at the open drawers and runs back out. At the family's car, Rose carries a packed bag and loads it into the back. Dr. Horn watches from the porch. Rose strides back to the house, scooping up a jacket left on the gravel.
Take a breath, Rose.
Open the door. Open this door! I am leaving, and I'm taking him with me.
Where would you go?
Anywhere, as far away as possible.
And keep him hidden in a glass cage away from the world? What kind of life is that?
A life where he is loved.
Rose opens her mouth and shakes her head.
No amount of love can protect him from his condition. You know that. You've seen with your own eyes how bad it can get. It will only get worse, and by then it's going to be too late.
She follows Rose to sit on the front steps.
Out there, there's nothing but suffering.
There's only suffering for him in here.
In here, there's still a chance.
Is there? I need to know that you can save him.
The doctor nods.
With you by my side, I can, Rose.
Rose rubs her lips, teary-eyed. In the house, Eli runs up the stairs, his foot leaving a print behind on the wood.
Mom!
He opens the door to his room. He flinches as a mosquito hawk drifts up to him, then flutters away. It settles on the wall above the light switch. A fist smashes it.
Must have gotten in last night.
Dad! Dad, where's Mom? We all need to leave right now!
She'll be back in a minute.
No! No, we have to leave right now! Dad, it's her! It's Dr. Horn! I saw her files! None of her patients made it past the third procedure. Dad, they all died.
Paul leads his son to the bed, then sits. He gives the boy a considering look.
You remember the old man, Al? The one we took Bronson to when he was just a pup. Last night I had a dream that we were playing ball in the old meadow. And Bronson was chasing the ball. He's attacking it. Remember how he used to do that?
Dad.
With a faraway expression, Paul looks at Eli.
You're scaring me.
No. Come here.
He gestures to the bed beside him, and Eli sits.
You are so loved, Eli. You know that. Sometimes I get jealous of you the way Mom says, you know I love you, right? And you say,
I know.
Paul nods.
Like it's nothing to you. That makes me happy the way you say it like that, like it's nothing. Love is normal. There's just no doubt in your mind. Eli, I am so sorry for all this. Come here.
He pulls him in for a hug and injects him with a syringe.
Ow! Ow! Why did you do that?
Dr. Horn enters.
Take him to the exam room.
The nurses stop him as he tries to leave.
Let go! He's brainwashed you! Mom! Dad! You have to believe me! I saw the files!
Paul glances at Rose, who stands with tears staining her cheeks. The women hurry him downstairs.
No! She's gonna kill me! Like she killed the others! Let go!
Why isn't the sedation working?
Mom! Mom, please! You have to believe me! She killed all of...
They freeze and stare at a window. Paul rushes past them to see the SUV on fire outside. Eli bites Barbara and shoves Maricela.
Eli!
Eli! Stop!
He hurries through the medical wing and into the office. He yanks open the smaller filing cabinet to find it empty.
Eli! Move them! She knows I know!
Zelda!
You killed your patients, didn't you? You expected...
Eli.
Get you, back!
You are sicker than
you
realize.
Get away from me! Get back, all of you!
He brandishes a letter opener.
I thought they were trying to hurt me, but they never hurt anyone. It was you the whole time.
Eli, take a breath.
She takes a step closer, and he darts away into the operating room. He tears through the doors leading into the hallway and stops at the sight of his parents and medical staff waiting for him. He turns and heads for Dr. Horn's room. Barreling in, he closes the door and places a chair against the doorknob. He backs up into the middle of the room.
Eli, your office trying to help you. Open the door.
He looks around.
Eli, door!
Okay, come with me.
His eyes fix on a shelf against the wall. He picks up a framed photograph of a group of nuns posing at the foot of the winged staircase. Dressed in black and white habits, Dr. Horn, Barbara, and Maricela sit in the front row. A mosquito hawk lands over Dr. Horn's image, then flits away. Eli watches it fly around him to a nook in the wall with a gap on its inside corner. As he pushes open the back wall into the dark cavity beyond, gusts of air lift his hair. He covers his mouth and nose with the neck of his t-shirt and looks down a set of stone stairs. Lamps on one side of narrow walls shine dimly. Eli begins his descent, his hand clamped over the cloth covering his nose. At the bottom, he looks up at a rusty metal gate. He pushes it open and walks up to a large well in the middle of a sepia-toned room. An ornate metal covering sits askew over the top. Eli notices an altar with a crucifix hewn into the rock wall. He steps up to it, leaning down to study an iron cross on the altar, placed on a stand. He rushes to the gate.
Mom, Dad, are we ready? This place is not—
Dr. Horn bolts it shut.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Let me out! Let me out! I can't breathe!
You can't leave him in there.
I can't breathe!
You have to.
No!
He knows.
Paul and the doctor start back up the stairs. Rose's gaze lingers on the quivering child, then she follows them. Eli leans against a wall, the red marks popping up on his face. He pulls his shirt back over his mouth and slides down to the floor. Cut to black. Eli lies on the rough floor of the well room, his skin no longer red.
I can breathe.
He smiles.
I can breathe. I can breathe.
He pushes himself upright and looks around. Standing, he grabs the bars of the gated door.
Whoa! Dad, I'm not sick! I can breathe!
His smile fades.
Why did you tell me I was sick? Why did you tell me I was gonna die? Let me out! Let me out!
In the office, Rose stops pacing and looks up as the lights flicker.
Rose?
She strides out.
Rose?
Dr. Horn hurries out to intercept her.
I know he's awake, but we're almost ready.
I need to see him. I wish you wouldn't. If we just proceed,
I'm not asking.
She wrenches her arm out of the doctor's grasp and enters the bedroom. At the bottom of the steps, she peers past the metal bars where Eli sits, leaning against the well.
Eli? Eli, can you hear me?
His small body remains unmoving.
I'm sorry I lied to you. You were never allergic to the outside. But I had to make you believe you were to protect you. Protect you from the world.
She lowers herself to kneel at the gate, eyes sparkling with tears.
I know this must be so confusing and scary, but no one's trying to hurt you, honey. And none of this is your fault. To see this last procedure through, and then I promise you, I will explain everything. Eli.
His body topples over.
Eli.
She pushes open the gate and hurries in. His eyes open and he swings the iron crucifix, striking her in the face. She collapses and he sprints away up the stairs. From the office, Paul watches the gowned women prepare the OR.
That was Eli!
Eli! No!
Paul chases after him.
Eli! No!
Paul slips and falls. The lights begin to pulse. He rises and gives chase, joined by the nurses. Eli runs across the foyer, tearing through the plastic curtains. He enters the sunroom and bolts it shut. He pulls a small fire extinguisher and bangs it against the window.
Eli! Open this door!
Open the door!
Haley stands outside.
What's happening?
They lied to me! I'm not safe! Get out!
In the well room, Rose pushes to her knees, a hand touching her face. Sitting up, she reaches for the iron cross discarded on the floor. She tugs the top of the crucifix, pulling out a dagger. She stares at it. In the sunroom, Eli continues to ram the glass.
Open the door! You don't understand what's happening here!
I can't do it!
Yes, you can! You're so much stronger than the others!
Eli! Open this door!
Haley watches him with a grim expression. Paul bursts in.
Don't be afraid.
They grab Eli.
Don't be afraid, Eli.
No!
Don't be afraid.
No! You.
They're the ones who are afraid!
In the well room, Rose kneels by the circular structure and pushes at the heavy cover. A metal star with three points as crosses forms the center of the carved design. The lid gives way and Rose stares down at three small bodies bound in shrouds and sporting the cross symbol. She stumbles back, a hand over her mouth. A boy with half his face melted rests beside a girl with marks mottling her decaying flesh. On the last, the skin appears smooth. Rose struggles to take her eyes off them. In the medical wing, Paul and Barbara carry Eli through to the OR as he flails. Dr. Horn marches behind them.
Get his shirt off.
Get his shirt off.
Paul and the nurses wrestle the t-shirt off the boy.
No! Dad! Why are you doing this? No!
They lift him onto the table and strap his limbs down as marks blotch his skin.
What are you doing?
Dr. Horn steps inside the room, revealing Rose behind her.
Rose? What are you doing?
She holds the dagger.
He was right. She wants to kill him. I saw the bodies of the children. She buried them down there.
The doctor closes her eyes.
She didn't save any of them. Why did you tell me you could save him?
Because I can. I thought I could cure Eli. God knows I wanted to. The gene therapy would have worked if he weren't so strong. He's too far gone. But he can still be saved.
Mom, what is she talking about? Mom, get back! Get back!
She points the knife at the nurses.
You touch my son. We've got to get him out of here.
He cannot leave here. You know that. Not the way he is.
We'll get you out of here, honey. We're going to leave. Honey, get this. Get off of me.
Rose. Rose.
He holds his palms up.
Let me help you.
You're going to help me get him out of here. Promise.
Yes.
Untie him, please.
She hands over the dagger to work on the restraints. Paul holds it out to the doctor.
Save
him. Paul. Paul,
no!
I can save his soul.
No, what are you doing? She's gonna kill him! No! 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 No!
Paul grabs his wife and the lights flash. As Rose clings to Eli, Paul drags her away.
Dad, what are you doing now?
Dr. Horn lays the knife over a white shroud folded beside a leather-bound book.
Eli, you were brought here with love and hope.
No.
Your parents have been working with me for longer than you realize.
No! No!
The sickness you have.
I'm not sick. I could breathe.
I could breathe.
The sickness you have doesn't come from outside. It comes from within.
What did I do? What did I do?
You didn't do anything wrong. But you will.
She loops a priest's stole over her shoulders.
Mom! Mom, what's happening?
The doctor sprinkles water from a small bottle. The red streaks erupt on Eli's skin.
Saint Michael the Archangel, illustrious leader of the heavenly army, defend us in the battle against the rulers of the world of darkness and in the spirit of wickedness in high places. Heed that prayer. God arises, his enemies scattered, and those who hate him flee before him. A cursed diabolical legion. We adjure you by the living God, by the true God, by the holy God, who so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten son so that those who believe in him may not perish, but have everlasting life. Begone, serpent, master of lies!
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver us!
No! May this holy water purify the skin.
His skin bubbles and oozes where the water touches it. The overhead lights shatter, raining sparks. Rose watches in horror. Dr. Horn picks up the dagger.
May this dagger purify the soul.
Maricela holds down his left arm.
May you find peace and forgiveness in the arms of the Lord, Eli.
His screaming face reflects in the blade as she raises it above her head. The point stops above his chest. The doctor's hands tremble with effort. She glances at Eli, his face contorted as he stares at the knife. Seeing the doctor being propelled back, Barbara takes a syringe from a drawer. Eli swings his head and the tube explodes.
No!
As Eli stares at the doctor, the hand holding the knife turns inward and sinks into her chest.
Dr. Horn! Dr. Horn! No! Dr. Horn! Dr. Horn!
The nurses rush to her side as she pulls out the dagger. The leather of the restraints glows and Eli breaks out of them. His skin crimson, he gets off the table and falls to his hands and knees. He glares at the three women. Seeing him, Barbara attempts to pull the doctor up. His eyes turn red. The equipment in the room flies against the walls. A tray hits Paul and he falls unconscious. The three women rush at the door, banging against it. Eli gets to his feet. Rose watches him, a hand over her mouth. He points at them.
Why?
They whirl around, their gowns twisted tight at their feet. The boy snarls, shuddering. The women's feet lift off the ground. Rose shakes her head. He turns to her.
What has she been putting inside me?
The women turn on their sides.
Then go. What have you been putting inside me?
They float upside down, arms outstretched.
Medicine. To make you feel better. Why?
Rose walks around him.
Some water. Injections of tetanus roots. Suppression medication while she worked on your genes.
The bound women fly in a circle around them.
What am I? What am I?
You're our son.
The three women burst into flames.
You're my son.
And my father.
Rose stops.
I prayed, Eli. I prayed every day. Praying to who?
Crying, she looks away.
Right
now! Rose falls backwards. The burning bodies smash against the walls and glass of the office. Paul's eyes open. He sees the dagger lying next to him.
Prayed to who?
The Lord didn't answer me. And your father did. He promised me you wouldn't be like him, Eli.
Eli steps closer.
But he lied. The devil always lies.
Paul comes up from behind him, dagger raised.
Eli!
As Eli turns, Paul freezes. Paul's face implodes, sending blood flying. His body drops heavily. The boy advances on his mother, his face distorted with rage. She holds her hand out.
I wanted you so desperately.
He kneels in front of her.
Forgive me.
She lowers her head. Eli reaches out and gently tilts her chin up. He lifts the silver crucifix hanging around her neck and rips it off with a snarl. He stares at it in his hand and flings it away. Mother and son gaze at each other. Amidst the flames, the body of Dr. Horn stares sightlessly out of a peeling face. The doors of the medical wing open and Eli walks out barefoot. Flames erupt with every step. The fire spreads, climbing the walls of the hallway. He makes his way into the foyer. Behind him, flames light up the staircase and side rooms. The main door opens. Eli steps out of the house, his skin smooth and eyes back to normal. His shoulders rise as he takes a deep breath, his features relax. Standing on the edge of the porch, he shuts his eyes, tilts his head back, and raises his arms. He smiles. Behind him, Rose exits the house. He turns to stare at her as she watches him, fearfully.
Hey, Houdini!
He peers at the driveway.
I knew you were stronger than the others.
Haley leans against the burned SUV.
The others? Harry? And Lucius and Agnes. Your sadly departed half-brother and sister.
He walks across the gravel.
Dad gets around.
She winks a red eye.
If you knew the whole time, you could have just told me. Would you believe me if I had? Sometimes you just have to walk the path for yourself. Besides, we're not allowed to set each other free. Why not? Dad says you gotta earn your place. My dad. I can take you to him if you want.
She looks at the burning house behind him.
You still trust her?
Rose stands a short distance away. She holds out his jacket.
It's cold outside.
He steps up to her and turns, letting her slide it onto his arms. Haley smirks and shakes her head. Eli puts up the black hood and walks away.
Hey, you. Yeah, you drive me. Let's go, we got a long road ahead.
Haley climbs into the back seat.
I'm driving?
Rose slowly approaches the car. She stares at Eli sitting in the passenger seat. She gets in behind the wheel. Rose gives her son a look. Haley frowns.
Mom, breathe. Take a deep breath in.
blow out all your candles.
They share a glance.
Make a wish.
Eli looks away, then leans his head back against the seat and closes his eyes. Rose nods, gripping the steering wheel. She looks back at Haley.
Let's go.
They drive past the house. Smoke and flames fill the windows and rise up into the night sky. Their headlights shine brightly under the arching trees. In the distance, the burning house fades, its front resembling the face of a sinister jack-o'-lantern. Against black, a title appears in red letters, Eli. Directed by Kieran Foy. Screenplay by David Chercherillo and Ian Goldberg and Richard Ney. Story by David Chercherillo. Produced by Trevor Macy, PGA. Produced by John Zalzerny. Executive producers Matt Alvarez, Jenny Hinke, Melinda Nishioka. Director of Photography, Jeff Cutter. Production designer, Bill Bowes. Drops of water speckle the black background. Edited by Jason Hellman. Costume designer, Terry Anderson. Music by Bear McCreary. Casting by Anne McCarthy and Kelly Roy. Charlie Shotwell, Max Martini, Sadie Sink, with Lily Taylor, and Kelly Riley. Netflix, Paramount Pictures, and Paramount Players present an Intrepid Pictures Bellevue production, a series of upside-down writing of Eli in white and red form the image of an inverted cross. Credits roll. American Humane. American Humane monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. AHD 08038. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition could result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarities to actual persons or events is unintentional. 2019 Paramount Player, a division of Paramount Pictures Corporation, all rights reserved. Paramount Pictures Corporation did not receive any payment or other consideration or enter into any agreement for the depiction of tobacco products in this film. Paramount, a Viacom company.
The red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.